Jordan Davis comes to the Pavilion at Toyota Music Factory August 9th with special guests Mitchell Tenpenny and Ashley Cook. Get tickets now at LiveNation.com. Text Jordan to 22126 for your chance to win a pair of tickets. That's Jordan to 22126.
In any way. It is 4:34 here on the Hard Line. Gordon's out here. The rant will kick off here in just a moment. We're pre-ranting right now. Oh, you want to hear something cool while you're sitting here, Gordon?
Sure.
Make this go away.
A Pearl Jam song or something.
So my buddy was going to come up. He lives down in the Los Angeles area, which I hear you made a visit to.
I did.
Okay.
I did last night.
So he was going to drive up. Now, I don't know how long it took you to drive down there, and I don't know what time you left.
Mm-hmm.
Did it take – were you? Did you get caught in traffic at all?
That's my business. So
interesting.
Mm. No, I mean, traffic wasn't too bad. I think it took us like 90 minutes to get down to Hollywood.
Okay, not horrible. So my buddy, as he was mapping it, sent me a note yesterday and says, man, it looks like – according to my maps, if I leave at 5 o'clock, it's, which he had business stuff to attend to.
Mm-hmm. Generic.
Right.
Boy.
That it was going to take him 2 hours and 45 minutes to drive up from Manhattan Beach.
Ugh.
And he was just so bummed about it. Well, then a friend of his called and said, hey, I'm in town. Let's grab a coffee. And so he goes and meets his friend who came in from San Francisco who had flown his plane in from San Francisco. Okay? So
these are the type of friends we all have.
Yeah, yeah. So he heard it was 2:45 to drive up, and then he remembered he's incredibly rich.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Gotcha. So Gordon dines with Hollywood elites in Hollywood.
Yes.
And Corby's friends fly up from Manhattan Beach in private planes.
Well, see, he wasn't going to come up. He was like, it's too far.
Right.
And then his buddy said, well, I'm flying back to San Francisco. Why don't I just drop you off in Oxnard? And the 2 hour and 45 minute drive turned into what he said was an 11 and a half minute flight.
Very identifiable for Corby. This is
me.
Incredibly relatable.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he said it was
relatable. That's the word I was looking for.
He said it was a prop engine plane, but it's like the fastest one. It goes like 400 miles per hour.
Yeah.
And then his plane landed, and out popped the Foo Fighters
to welcome him.
It's going to be about death.
Anyway.
And they put Hawaiian Lays around his neck, welcoming him to Oxnard.
I'm confused, Corby.
Yeah. I want to make a movie about Simple Corby.
We all do.
You guys have to write it all, though. I don't want to be playing Simple Corby.
You have to play Simple Corby.
No, I don't.
It's like Stiller's character.
Yeah, Simple Jack.
Jack. Yeah. Okay.
Not having money makes my eyes rain. What is happening to my eyeballs?
Simone Biles is now the oldest human being to win a gold medal, or to win a medal, I think, in the all-around at the Olympics since 1952. There was a woman named Maria Gorakhskaya from the Soviet Union who, that was the first year that they had the competition, the Olympics gymnastics competition. She won at the age of 30. Simone Biles is the oldest since then. So basically, she is the oldest. And it's her 9th overall medal, 6th gold, makes her the most decorated American champion that we've ever had. So my question being, and I've never understood this, why is that the only sport, I think, I could be wrong, where you peak at like 16 or 17 years old? Why is that?
Why is it uncomfortable you talking about this?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Why did that occur to you?
Because every sport, athletes generally peak between the ages of, say, 25 and 35.
Mm-hmm.
Why in this sport, though, are they peaking? You don't like that word?
talking about peak 16-year-olds.
Everybody thinks I'm
a pedophile. So you're saying that those girls reach their peak at 16?
In that sport, it appears, based on, I don't know, 100 years of evidence,
that their
athletes peak out in performance between 15 and 18.
Performance, huh?
Yeah. Why do women have to perform for you?
Yeah.
I don't generally watch the competition, Gordon. I've made that very clear. It's not my favorite of the sports. Uh-huh. But I do appreciate their athleticism and boundless energy.
And flexibility.
That's creepy.
And I like it when they wear braces. It's like I'm growing up, but not yet.
Oh, look, simple Corby. It's just... You're so creepy right now. So answer the question. I don't know. I mean,
okay,
like,
so
imagine,
like, what could the possible reasons be?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it has to do with their smaller stature, first
yes,
of all.
Yes, I do think there's advantage to
but being, they don't grow.
Small. Well, they do, actually.
Well, but once they get out of...
Humans do grow, Corby.
Once they get
not
out...
Not the girls with braces. Every time I watch the same video, she still has the braces in the same size.
They seem...
When they get out of the peak years, according to you, that's when they start naturally putting on their adult weight.
Their adult weight.
Adult weight?
Like you're saying that it's
like
specific
they're
to their...
Yeah, but they're fully turning into a woman.
You understand the concept.
Their fat, their fat
of like
ratio changes.
Right?
Well, yeah, but okay, so Simone Biles is 4'8". She was 4'8" when she was 15.
Right.
So,
I think she's also all those women, obviously young women, young ladies, girls. I don't know.
Yeah.
Depending on how old they are,
girls.
But I mean, all of them are physical anomalies. But
none
Simone
of them
Biles,
have, none of them
is,
have periods.
Is
okay. We're not going to do that.
None of them.
That happens to athletes sometimes, but anyway.
Okay, but she's 4'8", 103 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if we say that is the ideal frame for a gold medalist in the Olympics,
yeah,
then that's I would imagine it's very, very difficult to remain that size
right
into your 20s and mid-20s.
And there's probably also something to do with their limberness at that age, too. I mean, the fact that they're that flexible.
But to your general point of there are I can think of no other sports like that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I definitely would agree. I would agree.
Gymnasts as a rule are freaks of nature, and Simone Biles is the
freakiest of
all freaks for the fact that she is so good and can do it for so long.
But the men aren't teenagers, are they?
No, and many of their sports,
but they're not the same sports always, right?
What do they call them?
Gymnasts?
Not treatments. The events or the different exercises.
Yeah, the exercises.
They perhaps use some that are for full-grown men. I don't know. Like, I do know the women have, what, 4 or 5 different ones than the men?
Probably,
like,
yeah.
Men don't do balance beam.
No.
Men don't do uneven bars.
Men do pommel horse that the girls
rings,
don't do. The rings the
parallel
girls don't
bars.
Do. Yeah, parallel bars. But every gymnast that you see later on in life, like Nadia Comaneci is tiny still. Mary Lou Retton is tiny.
Well, yes, they...
Our friend Carly.
Carly,
that,
tiny.
But doesn't that go back to what Dave was forcing down our throat and saying that they, I mean, they're freaks to begin with because they are probably tinier than even their friends at that age.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah. Yes, they are tinier humans.
I mean, it's probably.
Which works to their advantage.
Like
but when they're younger, they're even tinier than when they're an adult humans, oftentimes.
I assume 4'8", 100 pounds becomes 4'8", 125 pounds.
There's a big difference.
And at that point, you no longer have all of the abilities, the fluidity, the balance, and all the
then
things.
Then stop eating so much.
Well, they're human simple beings, Corby, though, that's the thing.
They have to grow.
I assume in most cases,
why do
though,
they have to grow up?
Corby's our Wooderson over here.
Well, and I mean, if they plan on having kids before they retire, I mean, I don't. Surely it has happened at some point that an Olympic gymnast had a child and then returned to competition after the child, but I would think that that would be really, really hard.
Really hard.
Why?
Like you're saying they had a kid.
Like to bounce back after giving
birth. Because you prevent them from coming back.
No, he's right.
You and he's the structures you've put in place.
He's absolutely right. And I also think, and I feel like Carly told us this when we used to visit with her, it was just a beating to train 8 hours a day, and they're over it by the time they're 16 or 18. They want
a life.
They want a life outside of the gym.
They ought to have like a third trimester Olympics where you get some of the older.
We're not going to do this either.
You get some of the older gymnasts out there that are
Corby Davidson
pregnant.
Yeah,
they
and
do
then
the
you
ribbon
them
dance with the umbilical cord.
Baby still attached, swinging around.
You do all these events, but you're third trimester.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I see where you're going with that, but
I'm just trying to get eyeballs.
Yeah?
As a TV ad man,
But as soon as they do that vault and as soon as they stick the landing and all the water rushes out, all the amniotic fluid.
Yeah, they have to change the landing pad every time.
The landing pad has to be absorbent.
Well, congratulations to Simone Biles in the end.
That's our unique way of congratulating her. Another gold medal.
And if there was an Olympic event for tap dancing, I think we just won it.
Here's,
this segment is weird.
Here's Daddy.
Yeah, very careful. All right, let's do some e-news and get the rant going.
Oh, I thought it was going.
Oh, yeah.
Distinguish between what we just did and the rant for
That's
me.
Right.
Things suddenly aren't going so well for Cardi B and Offset.
Oh. But I want to only hear a negative. No,
she rich?
No, no, no.
Because of that song?
No, Corby.
Well, that's what... That's how you.
That's all Corby's interested in.
I know.
Not did she create something that brought joy to people?
Is she rich?
I don't know.
Like what kind of money do you think she has?
Why can't she just buy another guitar?
Well, Corby doesn't understand that some things may be special to people.
Now put that song up against Head to Toe. The Lisa.
Stop referencing her.
Ever...
Or Lost in Emotion. Those were two.
Tried to make these
bangers.
Two battle each other.
Lisa might be a bigger deal than Lisa Loeb.
Well, maybe, yeah. Multiple hits. Lisa Loeb mainly had this one. But she did do a song for kids that was really popular, too. I mean, an album for kids.
You didn't think about that, did you, Dave?
Mm-hmm. I sure did.
Get fun of her.
I sure didn't. Let's get back to e-news from this century. Jimmy Carter, speaking of the century mark, he is going to turn 100 on October 1st.
Will he make it?
I mean, God, I hope so. They're making plans because the Carter Center is going to put on a tribute concert at the Fox Theater in Atlanta titled Jimmy Carter 100, A Celebration in Song. It will take place on September 17th, so... If he doesn't make it to his birthday, hopefully he at least makes it to his birthday party.
Was it Betty White that they had that big thing planned for, and she died like 2 weeks
prior to it? Like a week or two weeks before.
So who is the who's his vice president in case he doesn't make it? Like who will they celebrate then?
Okay, simple version. Yeah.
What? God, how bad is it? I don't remember his vice president.
Who was Mondale? Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Did you guys know Jimmy Carter was still with us?
Yes.
Okay.
Bob.
I believe I just got into a conversation, perhaps with my kids, on how many presidents are living. And I might
have guessed
wrong on Jimmy Carter.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, 100. Who's going to play?
Okay, so tickets are $100.
Call it 100.
They will have celebrity appearances by Sean Penn, Killer Mike, and Dale Murphy.
Dale Murphy,
yeah,
I guess
former Brave.
Brave.
And then performances by
Nickelback,
Chuck Lavelle of Allman Brothers fame.
Yep.
D-Nice, Drive-By Truckers, Eric Church, Group Love, Maren Morris, The Warren Treaty, and the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra Chamber Chorus.
If you ask Jimmy Carter to name hits by each of those artists,
he would get Chuck Lavelle because he was a big Allman Brothers fan. Like, that was in the documentary about Jimmy Carter.
And
his
then
relationship
he would fall
with the Allmans.
Huge Killer Mike guy.
And he would go into a persistent vegetative state, and that would end the competition.
You know, Maren Morris and I are thinking
right
about
at the end of the at the end of the performance, they'll just go and kick the plug out the wall.
Right.
God.
Set a weight on his chest to make sure he can't get enough air in there.
Maren Morris and I are potentially dating.
She's a lesbian now.
What do you mean now? She always was.
Is that why you're dogged by the rumors that you're transitioning? Is because you're trying to make yourself attractive to Maren Morris?
I'll do whatever it takes to win her love.
Yeah, she's always posting fun photographs, right?
Yeah, I like her. And she's from Arlington, so we have that in common.
But she's also like half your age.
What?
Yeah, but she has her own kids. She's an
she's
adult.
Got kind of
the
a
only number head that matters is the bank account number.
Okay, quickly before we go and get into ranch
proper. One more.
Another big gig. Post Malone is going to make his Grand Ole Opry debut. So he has his country album coming out called F1 Trillion.
Funny.
And so Brad Paisley, who has collaborated with Post Malone on a song called Goes Without Saying. Brad Paisley has been a member since 2001 at the Grand Ole Opry, and so he said, he extended this invite on social media, said, "What I'm about to ask you means a lot to you, I think. Knowing you and knowing the respect you have for country music and this journey you're embarking now as a hillbilly singer, which is going to be massive and remarkable and amazing for both country music and I think you. Would you like to play the Opry?" And of course,
no.
I mean, can't say no to that, right?
Why is that still a big deal?
I don't know. He's going to debut August 14th, and so it'll be Posty, and I'm sure Brad Paisley, Lainey Wilson, Vince Gill, John Michael Montgomery, and the Warren Tree. And then his album comes out the 16th of August. Oh, and lastly, it's official.
He's so good live. That was one of the most fun concerts post-hosting.
Oh, no.
And lastly, it's official. Well, it's not official because they haven't signed on the dotted line or released any kind of documents.
What?
But J-Lo and Ben Affleck are getting divorced.
Oh, no. For the second time?
Well, they never got married the first time.
Oh, they didn't?
They were just together.
Yeah, they broke off an engagement. So Ben Affleck, on J-Lo's 55th birthday on July 24th, Ben Affleck purchased a new $20.5 million bachelor pad in Pacific Palisades. So he's ready for life without J-Lo.
I think he was ready for life without J-Lo after like a week of being back with her. Like, what have I done?
Yeah.
What have I done?
After the thrill of getting back with the old flame was like, oh gosh, now I remember why I didn't do the first
thing. Right.
When we come back, Gordon Keith will hold court on wieners.
I'm not holding court.
She also spoke to Rolling Stone, and she was talking about balancing motherhood and taking care of two kids and being pregnant with another one and working on her new album. And she says she's looking for a nanny. She's also been leaning on her parents for support, but she doesn't want to put too much pressure on her parents to raise her kids. She said, this is her quote, "I had them kids. They came out of my pee. Not my mom's. They mine."
That sounds like something my mother would have said.
Dave's reading from Bartlett's quotations
right now. As my mom is
playing. They came out of my pee.
You think any of our moms have ever said that?
Yes.
No way.
Yeah. I think all of them did at one point. I wonder if we'd all be shocked by the worst thing our parents have ever said.
Yes.
I mean, like, I never heard my parents cuss. My parents never cussed.
Yeah, I don't think my mom has ever cussed. I heard my dad say the S word a few times.
Ricky,
like,
do you need to take a shit?
Hit his thumb with a hammer or something.
Yeah, I would just, and I remember being shocked when I would go to my friend's house and they would cuss in front of their parents, and their parents would cuss back to them. It was just so traumatizing to me because I had no exposure to that.
What's that like, Corby?
I did not cuss in front of my parents, and my parents did everything in their power to not cuss as well. My dad made up cuss words like turkey butt, like when he got mad at us, things like that.
My parents had lots of fake cuss words, but never
is that what your mom said?
You came out of my turkey butt. You mine.
Anyway.
You mine.
No, I, my relationship with them though, it was, I remember the first time I did cuss in front of my parents and it didn't go over very well, shockingly.
How old were you?
I think I was like probably 12 or something like that.
Dang.
But it was I jumped off the couch. It was a sports moment and I let out a holy S.
How old was Van when he first cussed in front of you?
Holy f-
That was his first word, was the F word.
Second grade?
You!
I think we heard something on a tennis court one time that wasn't...
Gentlemanly?
The proudest moment that we've had.
Well, if he follows you on Twitter, he just sees his dad cussing all the time.
You didn't high-five him?
No, I did not high-five him.
Okay, let's work on this. You're a little off.
Yeah. I don't think that my kids are on Twitter, Gordon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Young people don't like Twitter.
No. No.
True.
It's for olds.
Yes. The Nazis.
Career. Full circle for Carrie Underwood. She, of course, won season 4 of American Idol. Now she is returning to Idol as a judge. 20 years after winning, she's going to be taking over for Katy Perry in the next season.
Wow.
So she is the first American Idol alum to ever join the judging panel. And she will join Lionel Richie and Luke Bryan. They'll be back. And so Lionel Richie, Luke Bryan, and Katy Perry joined in 2018. That's when they rebooted Idol after it was canceled in 2016. So,
does anybody watch that show?
Some people do.
I mean, I don't. But I never watched any of those shows, I don't think, regularly.
No, like The Voice or something like
so
that.
So it wasn't like I lost interest in it because it got bad.
No, I never watched it either.
I just never thought to watch it.
I remember back in the heyday when 20 million people or something were watching that show. And now, like, I mean, I never hear anybody talk about it. Never read anything about it. Have no idea who's won it the last 10 years. That's not even a thing anymore. Like, that was a thing when she won it. Like, we knew who she was. Now it's not. It just
I wonder if it's still a career maker.
I don't think so at all.
Yeah, I don't know the last winner, maybe Fantasia was, and that was a long time ago.
Dude, that was 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, I don't know the last one that has had success, like actually sold records after
graduating from the show.
Very possible.
Yeah.
It was a fun run, though.
Hey, did Lisa Loeb ever get her guitar back? Did you cover that story?
I don't know.
Someone stole Lisa Loeb's guitar outside of a hotel in, I think, Chicago or Cleveland, maybe. And it was like the original, one of the original ones that she used back in the day.
From Stay?
From Stay. The one she had up in studio with us.
Oh, yeah. Was that a Rhett Miller thing?
I don't know. I know we talked about Rhett, but I don't know if he set that up. I think it... I don't know. That's a good question. I don't remember how we had her up in studio.
Because didn't she do her, when you guys were doing the Bands of Your Life thing, didn't she do that?
That's right. She did Bands of Your Life. Yeah.
Yeah. She bumped me. I was supposed to
do it.
Yeah,
he was supposed to.
Then
Dave.
Sorry,
they were
Dave.
Like, sorry, Lisa Loeb's doing it.
Did Cult Jam come with her that day?
Who? Lisa is not the same as Lisa Loeb.
Oh. Bob Sturm, legend. Legend.
You know, I asked him to leave the show yesterday, and I'm about to do it again.
Still the only unsigned artist to have a number one song.
Lisa?
No, Lisa Loeb.
Did she get signed?
Yeah. Okay. She eventually got signed. But yeah, that song.
Stay. You say. Only hear what I want to. Only hear a negative. No,
she rich?
No.
Because of that song?
No, Corby.
Well, that's what, that's how you.
That's all
Corby's
interested in.
I know.
Not did she create something that brought joy to people?
Is she rich?
I don't know.
Like,
Corby.
What kind of money do you think she has? Why can't she just buy another guitar?
Well, Corby doesn't understand that some things may be special to people.
Now, put that song up against Head to Toe. Lisa Lisa.
Stop referencing
no
her.
Ever
or Lost in Emotion. Those were two
tried to make
seven
these
bangers.
Two battle each other.
She Lisa Lisa might be a bigger deal than Lisa Loeb.
Well, maybe, yeah. Multiple hits. Lisa Loeb mainly had this one. But she did do a song for kids that was really popular, too. I mean, an album for kids.
You didn't think about that, did you, Dave? Mm-hmm.
I sure did.
Making fun of her.
I sure did. Let's get back to E! News from this century. Jimmy Carter, speaking of the century mark, he is going to turn 100 on October 1st.
Will he make it?
I mean, God, I hope so. They're making plans because the Carter Center is going to put on a tribute concert at the Fox Theater in Atlanta titled Jimmy Carter 100, A Celebration in Song. It will take place on September 17th. So if he doesn't make it to his birthday, hopefully he at least makes it to his birthday party.
Was it Betty White that they had that big thing planned for and she died like 2 weeks prior to it?
Like a week or two weeks before?
So who's his vice president in case he doesn't make it? Like who will they celebrate then?
Okay, simple version. Yeah.
What? God, how bad is it? I don't remember his vice president.
Who was Mondale? Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Did you guys know Jimmy Carter was still with us?
Yes.
Okay.
Bob.
I believe I just got into a conversation, perhaps with my kids, on how many presidents are living in.
I'm a little wavy.
Wrong on Jimmy Carter.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, 100. Who's going to play?
Okay, so tickets are $100.
Call it 100.
They will have celebrity appearances by Sean Penn, Killer Mike, and Dale Murphy.
Dale Murphy?
Yeah.
I guess
former Brave.
Brave, yeah.
And then performances by
Nickelback,
Chuck Lavelle of Allman Brothers fame.
Yep.
D Nice, Drive By Truckers, Eric Church, Group Love, Maren Morris, The Warren Treaty, and the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra Chamber Chorus.
If you ask Jimmy Carter to name hits by each of those artists,
he would get Chuck Lavelle because he was a big Allman Brothers fan. Like that was in the documentary about Jimmy Carter, his relationship with the Allman.
Huge Killer Mike guy.
And he would go into a persistent vegetative state, and that would end the competition.
You know, Maren Morris and I are thinking
right at the end of the at the end of the performance, they'll just go and kick the plug out the wall.
Right. Set a weight on his chest to make sure he can't get enough air in there.
Maren Morris and I are potentially dating.
She's a lesbian now.
What do you mean now? She always was.
Is that why you're dogged by the rumors that you're transitioning? Is because you're trying to make yourself attractive to Maren Morris?
I'll do whatever it takes to win her love.
Yeah, she's always posting fun photographs, right?
Yeah, I like her. And she's from Arlington, so we have that in common.
But she's also like half your age.
What?
Yeah, but she has her own kids. She's an
she's
adult.
Got kind of
the
a
only
five
number
head
that matters is the bank account number.
Okay, quickly before we go and get into ranch
one more,
proper,
one more.
Another big gig. Post Malone is going to make his Grand Ole Opry debut. So he has his country album coming out called F1 Trillion, and so Brad Paisley, who has collaborated with Post Malone on a song called Goes Without Saying. Brad Paisley has been a member since 2001 at the Grand Ole Opry, and so he said, he extended this invite on social media, said, what I'm about to ask you means a lot to you, I think. Knowing you and knowing the respect you have for country music and this journey you're embarking now as a hillbilly singer, which is going to be massive and remarkable and amazing for both country music and I think you. Would you like to play the Opry? And of course,
no.
I mean, can't say no to that, right?
Why is that still a big deal?
I don't know. He's going to debut August 14th, and so it'll be Posty, and I'm sure Brad Paisley, Lainey Wilson, Vince Gill, John Michael Montgomery, and the Warren Treaty. And then his album comes out the 16th of August. Oh, and lastly, it's official.
He's so good live. That was one of the most fun concerts post-hosting.
Oh, no.
And lastly, it's official. Well, it's not official because they haven't signed on the dotted line or released any kind of documents.
What?
But J-Lo and Ben Affleck are getting divorced.
Oh, no. For the second time?
Well, they never got married the first time.
Oh, they didn't?
They were just together.
Yeah, they broke off an engagement. So Ben Affleck, on J-Lo's 55th birthday, on July 24th, Ben Affleck purchased a new $20.5 million bachelor pad in Pacific Palisades. So he's ready for life without J-Lo.
I think he was ready for life without J-Lo after like a week of being back with her. Like, what have I done?
Yeah.
What have I done?
After the thrill of getting back with the old flame. It's like, oh gosh, now I remember why I didn't do the first time.
Right.
When we come back, Gordon Keith will hold court on wieners.
I'm not holding court.
What
I am talking about. Okay.
Give it up.
The rat.
Give it up.
The rat. The Bohemian rat.
He's the poster boy of underachievement.
He is, in fact, the poster boy of underachievement. 518 here on the Hard Line from Southern California. Continuing coverage of Cowboys training camp as only we can. Brings us to the Rant Revival on this Thursday. Featuring the three kings of the rant. Gordon Keith. Simple Corby.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
And Save Lane.
Hey, Bob, how are you?
Oh, I'm good, Gordon.
Great to be here.
Thank you.
In beautiful California with my buddies.
Isn't it lovely?
It is beautiful.
Doing some ranting.
We get to broadcast outside.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be careful, though. Yesterday, I walked outside the ticket tent and got dive-bombed by a seagull.
Oh, yeah, he got doo-dooed on.
I got doo-dooed on.
Really?
Like bad.
Yeah, like giant skin marks down his back.
It's a huge mess when those animals go.
And
do you think they intentionally did it?
Seagulls are pretty evil.
And I feel like these seagulls are kind of rough around the edges.
What does that mean?
They emulate the town.
What?
And so they probably don't eat well. And so like that was that, that color that I saw on the back of your shirt, I've never seen from any bird ever.
It was definitely the color of a skid mark.
Gross.
It wasn't
fun.
White bird dude.
No, it wasn't white. It was like bird diarrhea.
What did you do with that shirt when you got back to your room last night?
Put it in the shower.
Put it in your mouth.
Gave it a shower.
Did you? Sprayed it down.
It's a brand new t-shirt, man.
That sucks.
I know. What am I supposed to do now? Burn it?
I don't know, but he got out to put gas in the car yesterday. By the way, executed perfectly. No worries whatsoever.
You're an idiot.
We ran the gas tank down to where it said, like, 4 miles.
Do you think Simple Corby drives with a fuel light on until it's down to one?
Simple Corby probably is someone that gasses it up for him.
Seriously. I let the car decide when to fill it up.
He has never filled up his own tank.
God. My grandma.
Never did.
Not one time. She didn't know how to do it. My grandpa filled the car up for her every single time.
That's chivalry right there.
No, it's him keeping her down. Didn't want her to gain knowledge.
So she could run
keeping
away.
Keeping her dependent.
Right?
Yeah.
She can only go as far as one tank
one
of gas.
One tank of gas. He knew the radius.
That's kind of smart.
Where she could get to. So he could track her down each time and bring her back.
Okay, so the story that's...
Sponsored.
Eatsy's Market and Bakery.
Thank you, Eatsy's.
The story that's grabbing everyone's attention over in Gay Paris. One is Simone Biles, who we've already covered as a sports station.
You did a great job.
Thank you. Yeah. The other is this Algerian boxer. Girl Algerian boxer.
Yeah. Just
named
woman.
Amane Khalif.
Right.
When today she beat somebody from Italy.
Who? Angela Carini.
Yes.
Beat her in two punches, right?
Yeah. 45 seconds into the fight, the lady tapped out. She's like, I'm done. Because she said that she couldn't handle the pain.
Her nose was broken.
Her nose was broken. Why I'm laughing. It's a terrible thing. But she said she couldn't handle the pain anymore. And then, of course, the story starts to come out about this Algerian boxer who was banned from competition because of elevated testosterone levels. This was a couple of years ago. She was banned by the governing body, International Boxing Association.
IBF.
IBF. terrible thing, disease.
Didn't you have a friend that had that, Dave?
One of my ex-wives had IBF.
This is the International Boxing Federation, I believe.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking of impossible butt syndrome.
So now she somehow gets by whatever the Olympic, the IOC regulators, I'm not sure.
That's
what's
a congresswoman, right?
What's different about their governing body?
Well, yeah, they have different rules, right, Bob?
Yeah,
The criteria to compete is more stringent
in the IBF.
Yeah.
Because they do boxing all the time. The Olympics, the IOC is broader to every single sport, and so the drug testing and the in this case the testosterone levels are not measured. In fact, I think I was reading today that they pretty much just kind of look at the gender on your passport. And so this has caught fire because we live in an age where anybody tweeting anything on social media just gets shared and nobody vets it. And so before long, this girl from Algeria
woman
is a dude.
Yeah, the narrative is that this is a trans
right.
boxer, which is not the case.
It's absolutely not the case, and so much so that she literally fought in the 2020 Olympics as a woman, and this has not been an issue until in 2022 she was flagged for abnormal testosterone levels,
yeah.
which is...
But it is a little bit more complicated than just, hey, she's not a guy, and so everything
is
nothing controversial.
No, this is a very complicated issue. I'm simply saying social media
has just turned it into
simply saying this is
she was a dude last week and then got in the boxing ring.
Yes, this is another case of transgender males dominating our girls in women's sports at a ridiculously unfair level, and we need to take sports back from the transgender males who are trying to win all these championships at all levels. And I guess that actually does exist. I guess there are cases where it does happen, but for the most part, it is a social media wildfire that is the catnip of society.
Because I think
everybody on either side of any political divide our country definitely has agrees that men are absurdly unfair matchups for women in most sports.
Yes. I would think so too.
And therefore the competing the blurring of the gender lines to say that if you identify a certain way, you should be able to participate in that gender's sports is flat out nonsense for, I want to say, 99%
yes.
of society.
I think everyone agrees.
Like, this is not a 50-50 push-pull culture war
right.
issue.
We're all saying the same thing.
We all agree that there's a reason in every track and swimish
but
swim
if
event
someone
in
identifies
history.
as a woman and they were not identified that way at birth and they grew up male and they switch, that does happen. And we've seen it in certain high-profile sports.
Yeah.
How do you adjudicate that matter?
I feel
the Olympics ever had to make a ruling on that? Has anyone made it that far?
Honestly,
I don't think the Olympics have.
When you get into
but this athlete has basically DSD or has an intersex.
DSLs?
No. It's differences of sexual development. It's like a whole host of conditions, genetic
like Jamie
conditions.
Lee Curtis.
Yes. She has an intersex situation. I don't know what you'd call it. But
like it's kind of like, is it
like,
is
like
it
Jamie
in
Lee Curtis,
or is it out?
No, Jamie Lee Curtis is I believe she's XY chromosome.
Yeah, and I believe that was a thing long, long before we decided to culture war this sort of thing, right?
Right.
And I think that's a very reasonable possibility that this Algerian girl
yes.
Does have something similar to that.
And it's a weird because it's not her fault she has this. This is not like her trying to game some system.
No.
So you can't even make that argument.
Well,
and,
yeah,
and it's got to be. But how do you account for if someone has the biological advantage of being intersex and having masculine levels of testosterone that does in some way make them an unfair in a different division, let's say, than other women.
And I want to admit, if I may speak for all of us, I don't know what the heck I'm talking about when we start talking about levels of testosterone in a woman and what's natural and what is too far for the athletic governing body to say this is fine.
Right.
They have obviously flagged this girl and another girl from Taiwan, I want to say.
Yeah.
Thank you, Gordon, for being above the range threshold of acceptable levels of testosterone in women athletes.
The IOC says everyone competing in the women's category is complying with the competition eligibility rules. They are women on their passports, and it's stated that this is the case, that they are female. So you're right.
That's very bothersome. That all it has to do is say female on your passport.
Right.
Because that does feel like not a
even
loophole.
Not even your birth certificate.
That does feel like a, yes, that does feel like a loophole. And to your point, Gordo, you know, how do we handle the actual transgender community as it pertains to sports? I have to be honest. I kind of think you got to use birth certificate for sports. I really do. I know some people.
But what if someone was misgendered on their birth certificate? Then what do you do?
What does that mean?
Well, they made a mistake and said that they were.
Well, if it's a typo, or are you? What do you mean? Make a mistake?
I mean, or the doctor didn't bring their glasses to work that day.
I'm just saying that some people, what if they transition?
Yes. No. Look, there are people that make that decision, and it frees them, and they've been carrying a burden with them, and I want to be sensitive to that, but.
And that's the thing. We all want to be sensitive to it, but the way that the conversation goes is we never have productive conversations about it because everyone kind of knows the verbal tactics to win the culture war.
I know,
argument,
when we talk gun control, you have two groups of people that might be a very similar size that have for and against points, and there's a real argument of that feels like the country is divided. Nobody is on the other side on this that says a man who transitions should be allowed to choke slam a girl in wrestling.
I think that there are people who would say that if someone transitions, that they should be allowed to compete in.
And then I would argue they know nothing about sports or the human body as it pertains to competition.
Okay.
That might be out of school. Maybe there's
a lot of people who say that, hey, biology is biology, and this talk is just crazy. And
well, there's
but
a reason. There,
obviously, it's more complicated.
From a 100-yard dash to a mile to any swim distance to any weightlifting or anything like that, we have to be able to agree that men are X percentage stronger and faster and bigger. You know, we know this. We all know this to be true.
I know
that that's the purpose of testosterone.
Right. And so in this case, just to go back to the story of the day and it's frustrating that this Algerian is being called a male.
Yeah, I mean,
and people are just reading it and saying, well, that's horrible.
And her
and
opponent,
it's not true.
Her opponent took those two shots. She had to tap out. She wouldn't even shake the hand of this. She declared this is unfair.
And I would say a few things.
That's bad sportsmanship.
First of
I
all,
think.
Yes. And I would say the Italian woman who lost.
Yeah.
Has lost like 24 other fights and is over 500 as a fighter, but. The narrative that
she wasn't going to medal anyway.
She was not going to medal anyway. You don't have 24 losses as a fighter and go win the gold. And the story that her dad just died is just adding to the social media. I have to share this with everybody. This is an injustice.
Sure.
Now, you do have to have limits on testosterone. You absolutely do. But, and I don't know what those should be. But this is not a dude. This is a female who has been boxing for a long time in a country where transgender practices are illegal, mm-hmm. Algeria, and She has been in previous Olympics as a woman fighter.
She's
and no one's
followed all the rules.
And she's lost 9 fights to women.
Right. It's not like it's Evander Holyfield
in
there.
No, the idea that Tyron Smith is winning a female gold medal boxing by just one punching these girls next week is wrong. It's just, but it's how we consume news nowadays is that we get, it's a game of telephone and whatever Twitter feed you follow or the For You tab, which is all this today.
Yeah.
It's just such a cesspool of misinformation knows the actual story.
But we all insist we're not being gamed. Everyone thinks that they actually are able to tell what's true and what's not.
Did you,
based on just the last tweet?
Did you think on a Thursday in Oxnard at Cowboys camp that we would be talking about what the genitalia of an Algerian female boxer looks like?
Yeah, we were talking about that on the plane.
I did.
Probably this it was going to come to that.
We knew that we'd kind of had this date circled for a while, but
it's a really really weird place.
Why don't we just go to testosterone divisions? Like we don't have male and female. If everyone's going to act, you know, everyone feels they're very confused by what is men and what is a woman and all that stuff.
Like if you're between this range and this range,
you compete in this division.
You're in the high T division.
Yeah. And then we can even divide it further in that we do it by weight class, age, and then testosterone. Those are the three things, the variables that we go by.
I like testosterone.
Okay. Thank you, Simple Corby.
It seems to me like it's one of those things that gets people all fired up. I would love to see, and please don't send me links from
the Blaze,
incredibly slanted websites that feed off the culture war. I'm talking about actual
Tommy
vetted
Lauren
stories.
Has to say about this.
Dude, please, my God, please don't send me that crap. But it's one of those things where, you know, it's almost like, like bathroom stuff. Like,
what?
You know, like guy going in the little girl's bathrooms or whatever.
Like
you know?
Hot Carls.
Like, the actual number of cases versus the number of social media power it has to
it's
poison
way out of
everybody's
whack.
Mind.
I get you that it's way out of whack.
My mom is scared.
Oh, yeah.
Of public bathrooms.
Are you serious?
Because that's the industry, we have to scare people.
Right.
And I'm simply saying, in most, I think, I want to believe, 99.9% of Americans agree. Men should not be in women's wrestling, women's boxing, any sort of physical sport.
But then you get into, okay, well, what is a man and what is a woman? If someone does transition and they legitimately...
No, and they are welcome
to
transition.
With good intention.
I have nothing to say on that.
Should they
matter.
Be able to compete against...
And that's
women,
why that's why I like Gordon's solution, because whether it doesn't matter what you identify as, what you present yourself as, it is a factual element that you have X amount of testosterone in your system, and that puts you in this classification.
But most of it's just, like, genetically born. And that's why I kind of think birth certificate gender should probably be attached to you as you compete.
Yeah, but then you do have these cases like this athlete, if she is indeed has an intersex situation, then, you know, that could go either way. You could argue each way.
Yeah,
and then it's up to her to determine what she feels like she is.
I will admit I don't have the answers.
Right.
I will also admit it's extremely frustrating to hear this is a dude all day when it's clearly not.
Right.
It's not a dude. It's a girl with inflated testosterone levels.
Yes.
Which maybe
some people will.
You're just born that way.
The end.
Yeah. The end.
That went well.
If you have comments on this, send it to Bob.
Yes.
Or Bob is the one who came up with a strong
tweet
opinion.
Bob.
On this.
Or links.
Yeah, he needs lots of links.
I want all your links about the guy in Iowa who's doing this as well. Need more boobs.
Community Quick Hats.
Brought to you by
Mark Spain Real Estate.
Ladies and gentlemen, for all the quick hits, here's Dave.
Thank you. And we are still joined by our rant compadre, man. Gordon.
Now he won't leave.
Hell yeah.
What a treat this is.
Yeah, y'all are my ride. So.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's why you're still
you
here.
You thumbed it down here?
You actually going to have dinner with us?
Let's not go that far. I mean,
that's getting late.
You're reading the bathtub tonight?
I don't read in the bathtub.
Did you bring the bathtub?
No.
Do you have a bathtub? Did you request?
I don't ship Lee Harvey's bathtub out here so I can lay in it like a vampire at night and sleep.
You should. Like, well, Craig ships his bike out here and you ship the bathtub. Right.
You bring soil from the grassy knoll to throw underneath it.
Yes, I have to sleep on top of that.
And what a beating for the staff of the Marriott to have to carry the bathtub.
And they have to install it, too. Yeah. It has to be a working bathtub.
For his transfusions, his bathtub transfusions.
Okay, so talked about how much babies are going for these days. So there's a woman, Jody Hall. She is an attorney, and she is the founder of a business called Adoptions International, Inc. And so she is accused by the Tarrant County Sheriff's Office of, quote, paying money to multiple pregnant Tarrant County inmates for the purpose of placing their unborn children up for adoption with her agency. So she would find pregnant inmates and say, hey, if you don't know what to do with that, I'll take it off your hands. That.
And give you some money for it?
Yeah, I'll pay you for that baby.
So, like, are schools good in prison where these kids are raised?
I don't think that's how it works,
are raised
to be honest.
In prison.
Oh.
Simple Corby.
What about their mommy?
So Tarrant County detectives and the Texas Rangers began investigating her in May, and then she was arrested at her home in Kyle, Texas on July 23rd. She's been charged with two counts of the sale or purchase of a child.
Do you have a dollar amount?
No. I don't know what she was getting for them. I mean, what did you pay for your kids?
There is something a little weird about that, Bob, because adoption is expensive.
It is.
But it's not selling a kid. It's just a fee for the procurement of a kid.
Well, a lot of people make a lot of money off adoption, and that kind of sucks, or it does suck a lot. But you think at least a lot of it is logistics and arrangements and such things as investigations to make sure it's not human trafficking and all that. And I'm sure that doesn't happen for free. But you would think a lot more kids would be adopted if we could cut the cost of adoption significantly, but
like you know. Dave, when you do you
like,
remember
like free puppies, just a cardboard like a box of babies.
Well, if you have a loving home for a inmate's child that they are unable to take care of, and they don't have family that want to take it on, it there does seem to be a path for this sort of thing. But obviously,
yeah. But who wants a prison baby?
Buying and then selling for profit.
It's not the kid's fault that their parent was in prison.
What did the kid do?
Let's be clear. If you're born in prison, that doesn't make you a prisoner.
Prison baby.
Like if the mom is pregnant and kills somebody, is the fetus an accessory to murder?
It was there.
Yeah. What did it do?
It witnessed it.
What did it do?
See something, say something.
Yeah. Right. Did it report it?
It just starts kicking
real
hard. I'm not reporting it.
It tries to like spell out something on the from inside the womb onto the belly, like the pig in Charlotte's Web or the spider.
Do you think Dave?
I guess that would be Charlotte.
Yes,
yeah, from
that
Charlotte's
spider
Web.
Thing.
That spider thing.
Whatever her name
that was,
was
in Charlotte's Web.
I admittedly have forgot most of the plot details of Charlotte's Web.
That was traumatizing to me as a kid.
Yeah, I picture Dave like he comes with a little receipt stapled to his ear.
That's
you know,
a weird way to finish.
When he was, well, no, when he was adopted, though.
Cream? Okay.
I wonder what type of money you were sold for.
Go to your room.
I don't know.
I think
was adopted through Catholic Charities, so they probably took a little bit off the top.
Yeah, I think they just had a box out front of the,
they needed
the
to buy
place with Coats and Dave in there.
Yeah.
You could just take one if you needed it.
They needed to
take
pay.
What you need.
Coats and Dave.
Yeah. Yeah, it was in the Lost and Found with a bunch of umbrellas.
Do you think that his eventual adopted family, once they brought him home for like a week, they're like, God.
Like, oh man,
doing?
This is worse than a prison baby.
Where did this guy?
Did you lose
from?
The number of that lady with the prison babies?
No, so, they adopted a radio superstar.
They did.
Right. I think they did very well in the baby draft.
So the lady got arrested, or what?
Yeah, she's been charged with two felony counts of selling a baby.
Yeah, so. That's probably why we have adoption agencies. You just can't do it out of your garage, or anything.
You need licensed baby sellers,
right? Yeah.
Which, again, comes back.
And she had a business, but she was not authorized to do so.
Mm-hmm. Which, again, comes back to the
which had a car detailing business, which has nothing to do.
The whole human trafficking thing, which is a big, big deal that somehow flies under the radar of our normal rhetoric about problems in society. We don't. I don't think we talk enough about the stuff that really matters because we're so busy talking about the stuff that gets people more fired up.
Like what? What do you think is unimportant and we shouldn't talk
dudes
about?
Dudes and women's boxing and things of that nature.
The do thing you guys that you think, dedicated a segment to earlier?
Yes.
Do you guys think that you would be more shocked to learn...
It's all hopeless. We should just...
I know.
That your mom...
Turn the tower off right now.
Would you be more shocked to learn that your mom did a stint in prison or that your mom had a 10-year lesbian relationship?
In prison?
No. Outside of
it. It's not hot.
Yeah. What would throw you off kilter more?
Lesbian stuff.
Not prison?
No, I think the prison thing would be weird. Yeah. If you found out your mom was in prison.
You don't know my mom.
Knocking off banks?
Yes. Like something weird.
That's what
like
you
that.
Call doing lesbian stuff?
Egg banks.
No. That's not what I call that. I think it'd be kind of cool to find out your mom.
Walk into a room, got away your mom and another woman are just knocking off banks.
Why'd you do that? Why'd you act it with your body?
I don't know what you're talking about.
a little
groove in there.
A former firefighter from Rockwall is in some deep trouble.
Uh-oh.
Armstrong.
Sudeikis.
Jason Neil.
Sudeikis.
Jason Neil Frankenfield.
No
made
way.
Up name.
That's not a name.
Jason Neil Frankenfield. He was, there was a tip that was sent into the Rockwall Police Department in June. It was from the Center for Missing and Exploited Children. So they have like an anonymous tip line, and somebody gave his name. And so they start investigating, and they say they discovered messages from Frankenfield's IP address that contained graphic images involving 8 to 11-year-old girls.
Oh, jeez. No.
Off.
And so then this past Sunday, they arrested him and charged him with 2 felony counts of possession or promotion of child pornography. And when he was confronted by police and had to respond to the allegations, he admitted that he had sent those messages but said it was just role-playing.
Uh-oh! Mm. Isn't that what Pete Townsend said?
Like he was
Do you remember this?
Researching for a role or something?
Yeah, or there was some kind of weird thing with Pete Townsend.
There was, and he was asked about it when the Who played the Super Bowl. It was the first question that somebody asked him in that press conference. Yeah, and it was.
Yeah, I think Pete Townsend said he was researching
like a certain criminal.
You got any water?
No. I think it was he was researching because I think he said that he had been abused as a child.
Oh, okay.
As he was writing his biography, I think maybe he was researching that. Or,
it's tenuous.
Yeah.
Hot dog.
All right, we have a follow-up, Bob. So we've had a smattering of pastors stepping down from their congregations as of
a
late.
A lot of them.
And so we have the follow-up.
Smattering usually means small amount, right?
Yeah. This is a large number.
There's been like 4 or 5. So it's a smattering, but it's becoming
Corby's going with deluge, you're going with smattering.
Well, compared to how many pastors have not stepped down.
True.
It's a smattering.
Not that's all coming.
I don't think so.
So we are always asking the question, what is the reason?
Yes.
Because they always say moral failure.
Moral decay.
But they don't elaborate.
They say moral decay.
So the one that we had last week was Josiah Anthony. He was the lead pastor of Cross Timbers Church in Argyle. He had joined Cross Timbers in 2023 after working for Gateway for 20 years. And so he resigned, and according to the service, the video of the service where they announced that he had resigned, the church elder told the congregation that some of Josiah Anthony's decisions and actions were inappropriate and hurtful to current and former members of the Cross Timbers family and staff. So now we know what he did.
You banging someone?
Hey.
Corby.
Anthony admitted to some past unprofessional, low boundary relationships over the years.
Okay, that's very clear.
Low boundary.
Which were described as emotional affairs that were neither physical nor sexual in nature.
Hmm. Then he's not doing it right.
And that these emotional affairs did take place while he was lead pastor, and the women did not directly report to him. They weren't necessarily employees that were working for him, but they were definitely part of the congregation. So he would cozy up to a woman in the congregation
and
start a text or email relationship.
Send you some shots of your endometriosis.
And then they would develop a deep and meaningful connection that is not appropriate between two people who are in other committed relationships.
Oh, okay.
So like text buddies or DMs. And
sure, yes.
But just an emotional relationship.
But that, I mean, sometimes that will just not necessarily talking about pastors, but just husbands and wives.
Yeah.
That sometimes people will connect on social media with an ex or somebody from college or high school, and then they will get into this, you
right.
know, increasingly emotional, increasingly frequent relationship that's virtual. Mm-hmm. They're never getting together and fulfilling these fantasies, but
holy crap,
they invest
baby.
More in that relationship than
right,
their actual relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, as a pastor, you probably can't just be texting.
Because that's a
ladies,
power play situation.
Right,
they look to you as a leader.
Opinions.
Like, hey,
if you need to text her, you should probably group it with her husband or something like that, just so it doesn't look weird.
Right. Right. You guys swinging?
Oh, women can't communicate on their own. They can only
no,
communicate
it,
with
no,
permission of their
not,
husband.
That's not what
oh,
I
okay.
said,
Hopster.
Email guy. I would just like to say that...
you don't like can't win guy?
Well,
who
I,
always finds the angle to make
very,
sure he can get his boot on your neck.
You're very good at this.
All right. Let's wrap up Community Quick Hits for the week with a happy story. A story that had a sad beginning, but a happy ending.
Oh, okay.
Is this
so,
when you got kicked in the
this
balls?
Past weekend in Galveston... There was a 9-year-old boy named Jace Swindoll. And so his dad, Ken, wanted to take the family on a impromptu vacation to Galveston.
Love so, it. Nothing so, wrong with Galveston. Yeah, so G-Town, I call it.
So they packed up the car they drove down to Galveston. And so the dad says that when they got to the beach, key point of information, 9-year-old Jace... He has a prosthetic leg.
Way to go, Gordon.
I had nothing to do with it. Yeah. But he probably did something wrong for God to punish him, right?
Hmm.
Yeah. That's what Bob taught me.
Gordon?
God is a vengeful God.
That's what Bob said.
Okay,
said,
hey, Gordon.
Read the Old Testament. Get out of that New Testament stuff. Go back to that Old
yeah,
Testament.
When we had Bible study, hardline Bible study after last night.
Which that's, we didn't.
That was what he led with. All right, so Jace...
I need a nap.
So his dad says, instead of Jace waiting for me to take the prosthetic leg off,
yeah.
he just decides to run down and dive into the water because he just loves jumping on the waves.
No, and he lost it. Those things are expensive.
And he said, next thing I know, I said, hey, come back, let's take that leg off, and it was already gone.
Dang.
That
some shark was really chewing on it
yeah,
hard.
It popped off, and the waves swept it away. And he said, before I could react, it was gone.
This is the boniest leg ever.
And Jace, you know, he's about to go back to school. He's a 9-year-old kid. Mm-hmm. And so the dad spent most of the day searching for the leg. He even got a metal detector group to volunteer and comb the beach for the couple of days that they were staying there in
Nerds.
Galveston. Couldn't find it. And yes, very expensive because they said a replacement will cost about $7,000.
Golly.
And so,
why are they so expensive?
To air tag it?
Because they're nice.
I'm assuming this is, well, they, not all of them are nice. Some of them are high tech legs. I don't
yeah.
know if this one was.
So they said that they have somebody that in the interim will donate a wheelchair to help him around in the time being. And they said if anyone finds the leg to please turn it into Galveston Beach Patrol and that they will mail the leg back to them to their home in Waco. But they set up a GoFundMe. Already, they've met the goal of $7,000.
And watch. Now the dad's going to go back to the beach where he buried the leg before the GoFundMe.
Right.
Dig it up at night and say, hey, look, we found it. Thanks for the donations, though. Yeah. We're going to keep them.
Well, now, you know, this will go to his physical therapy.
That's right. You never know when he loses the other leg, so we need to keep it.
We're planning on that at some point.
You have two right legs now.
But, yes, it's nice that people that would be a horrible miscalculation if when they ordered the new leg, they ordered they checked R instead of L.
Right.
He needed a left leg.
He has to put it on backwards.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
But
they
yes.
checked the fake leg, lost and found it was at the beach.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just...
There
were
Dave
no
Lane
legs.
There
was just a Dave Lane in the box.
But that's nice that the community came together
yes.
and they raised that money to
yes.
replace the leg.
So
well,
9-year-old Jace will have a happy school year with a new leg.
What was the... been best in show. It was Eugene Levy that literally had two left feet. He's like, I can't dance. You know,
I
they
got
say,
two left feet. Literally.
Yeah. Yeah. They go down and show him and he's got two left feet.
So,
oh, it's terrible.
Jace.
Jace, indeed.